going to come on. He just participated in a really cool event that commemorates the Bataan Death March. And everybody knows about the Bataan Death March in the Philippines. They captured our soldiers there, and they made, I think there were 72,000 soldiers marched, and only 50-something thousand made it to the end of the march alive. It was just one of those things that, one of those just horrors of war that just you hope it never happens, something like that never happens again. And it was refreshing last year to have someone from the Japanese government actually come and apologize. They had a meeting in Texas, a reunion in Texas for all the survivors from the Bataan Death March, and a guy from Japan, someone from there, I'm not sure exactly which political office he has in Japan, but he came and apologized, and for the Japanese, that's really big. It's big for them to actually come and apologize to someone, so it was refreshing to see that. We've got Nick on now, our favorite sniper. How are you, Nick?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing outstanding. I'm sorry I'm running long as you. I always run long on this
show.
No,
that's fine. I've been listening.
Eventually, I'm going to have to just get another hour in here somehow. Tell us about this this memorial march that they do, and I believe it's in New Mexico, correct?
Yeah, and it was the White Sands. We flew into El Paso on the 19th, and we went out to White Sands and recon the route out there on the 20th, and they had some survivors out there signing pictures and stuff, and got the honor to meet some of them. And then we went back to the hotel, got ready. We had to wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And we left about 3 because it was about an hour drive. We got there about 4:15. There was a million cars out there, so it was hard getting through the gate. But we eventually got through, and then we weighed our bags. We had to have 35 pounds.
You had to have a 35-pound ruck.
The day before we went to the commissary and got a bunch of rice because they had like a food drive at the end, so we just filled our bags full of rice and beans and, you know, dry goods. So at the end, we just dumped them into this box for the food drive.
Oh, okay, cool. That's cool.
Yeah, we all had a little over 35 pounds. At the end, we had about 40, 50 pounds because we kept downgrading. It got pretty hot.
Oh, really?
In the morning, we got there about 4:15, weighed in, and it was about 19 degrees.
Oh, wow.
So about an hour in, we couldn't feel our toes. They only had so many propane tanks, and there's like 5,700 people out there.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how many people were there. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was a big turnout, because I guess they went from like 100 back in, 89 when they started the thing, I think it was. And now they got, I think it was the biggest turnout they had, 5,700 people, a little over that. And there's no heaters left. So the ceremony started about 06. They had a general come out and talk, and they honored some guests, and some of the Walter Reed wounded warriors came out from Iraq and Afghanistan, and
right.
The car guard came out, then they posted the baton flag. And then they did the roll call for the survivors. The survivors got drove out in golf carts, and they stood at attention, and they roll called them. So it was kind
That's
of
really
emotional.
Yeah, I bet that was really emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not too many left, actually. You know, they're dying off pretty quick. So,
That Greatest Generation, there are not too many of them left, and we need to really appreciate the ones that we do
especially
have.
Especially with that event, It's sad if anybody Google the Bataan Death March, man, they'll read about it, and it's just absolutely horrible.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
It's a miracle that
it
people
is.
Live through that.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. It's just amazing that the guys actually did live through it, to be honest with you. So,
yeah,
when I originally
signed up for it, I didn't really know what I was getting into, and then I Googled it, and I'm like, wow,
it's amazing. There are actually two routes,
reality,
right? Oh, sorry to interrupt you, Nick. There's a short route, and then there's a long route, which is actually the full length of the actual march. Is that right?
Yeah, there's I believe it was the blue route. I was on the green route. The blue route is like civilians and, you know, anybody who wanted to participate is 15 miles. And we were on the green route, and there's individual events. There was the women's heavy, women's light, men's heavy, men's light. And that was 26.2 miles. And about 12 of it was uphill. Kind of surprising.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So there's actually women there with full rucks as well, huh?
Say again?
There were women competing with full rucks as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had two women teams. When you get into the events, it's the heavies are five-man teams and five women teams, you know, five lady teams. No more, no less. And you have to have 35 pounds. And there's two checkpoints in the walk or in the march. And you have to be within 20 seconds of each other. Kind of like a team thing, you know. And if you're not within 20 seconds of each other, then when you cross this, because they give you this little chip on your boot, and if you don't, and you're not within 20 seconds when you cross this little sensor, then you're disqualified.
Oh, okay. So everybody has to stay in
the brigade
together.
We had two teams for our brigade, and there was one other ladies' team from another brigade, and they were beasts. They almost beat us. Yeah, they're pretty good. They got first place. I don't know where they're from. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Anyways,
we stepped off about 7:40, and it was crazy crowded. It was hard to march through people. It was a little path, and what our team did, we started our own pace, and we had two guys on there that really tall guys, so we just let everybody do their own pace, and then we decided, hey, we'll meet every 5 to 6 miles. There's little checkpoints. Every 4 miles, there's a checkpoint with water and oranges and bananas and people screaming and medics and people cheering us on. And so we stopped every couple checkpoints and met up and just started marching again. Yeah.
So you told me there was actually a group of bagpipers that were there, and they'd play their pipes as they marched through the checkpoints.
Yeah, there's a lot of NATO forces that we had. I saw some Aussies. I saw the Bundeswehr, the Germans,
okay.
Which we had a beer with afterwards.
Cool, that's right.
They're actually
cool.
Drinking Coors Light of all beers. Of
oh, wow, Germans are drinking Coors Light. Now that is
yeah.
A picture right there.
Yeah, really. Tastes like piss.
Were they complaining about it?
Yeah, they didn't like it too much. They don't like light beer. There wasn't, you know, not much of a selection out there, so they'll drink whatever. But the Bundeswehr is out there, the Aussies, saw some French. Actually, during the ceremony, after the ceremony was done and the march, right before the march began, the Raptors came flying through. They had two jets.
Oh, wow,
the Raptors.
Really?
Yeah, they did a flyover, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
I actually got I actually got all the pictures today, and I'm going to post them up on the site pretty soon. So everybody can get a look at the survivors and the flag and the ceremony.
Yeah.
And the bagpipers and the Scots were there. The bagpipers led the march, and each checkpoint they'd start playing the bagpipes. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I was looking at some of these finishing times, and some of these people had to have run for the entire 26 miles to get these times.
Yeah, some of the teams, they get to – all they do is practice for this march.
Oh, okay.
I think the team that won was the ODA team, because I saw them running in the beginning.
Oh, you did?
And all they did was ruck anyway.
What was their time? Something like 4 hours, or was it less than that even?
Yeah, no, it was like four hours and 17 minutes. So they were doing like 6 miles every hour, which is like ungodly. Like we were doing 4 miles every hour. Yeah.
How hard was it for you?
No, I was good. It wasn't hard for me. It was challenging going up to maybe mile 8 because it was nothing but straight up for 12 miles, and mile 8 kind of got me. but after that, I was good because I haven't climbed the mountain for, you know, about a year or so.
Right, since you've been in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but I handled it good. One of our guys that got hey-you'd because one of our guys dropped out, and we had to pick up a guy that didn't train with us. He's kind of sucking.
Oh.
So.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't ready for it, huh?
No, he wasn't, but he did good. He finished with us, and we all finished together.
Right. I don't know if I could go 26 miles with 35 pounds on my back. I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, you could. Oh, another thing, I'll be your partner in that three-shoot.
Oh, the three-gun?
Yeah, the three-gun, yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll have to put something together, then. You'll You'll have to carry us then, because I'm not going to be very good. I promise you. Yeah, we'll.
I'll show you a thing or two. We'll win. Ain't no one going to beat us.
Okay, right on. I'd love to hear that. Yeah, we'll definitely talk to you. We will put something together. Yeah, we'll put an event together here sometime this year, and we'll get together on that. That sounds like a whole lot of fun. Your dad told me to ask you. We're running out of time. He told me don't let you.
Oh, real quick.
Without asking you about the story that happened in Afghanistan. Something about something you got with an IED.
Little military humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, real quick. I'll make it real quick. Yeah, we got some intel about a mine in a small village in the NRAO from one of the local nationals. And we had a unit coming up from the south anyway, so we picked a mission. And we got out. And what were we? We got. I don't want to give the town out. But,
sure.
Okay. Yeah. And we got up to the town, and we got with the local national, and we explained to the turp, hey, here's this VS-17 panel, you know, the orange pink panel. They're like, here, give this to the local national, and because the local national gave us intel that there's a mine out there on the road.
Okay.
So we gave him the VS-17 panel, and he took the VS-17 panel, went around the corner, and we told him just to place it on there for the EOD, you know, just mark the target.
Right.
And he took a little while, so me and the commander went into the police chief's office, you know, talked to him, see how things were going in the village. We come back out, and we see him walking towards us with the VS-17 panel. I was like, sir, I think that local national has something in his hand. He's carrying the VS-17 panel in his hand. And so we yell to our turp, hey, tell him to stop and put whatever's in his hands down. Apparently, at the end of it, I guess he thought it was some kind of protective cloth or something, because he had dug the mine up and stuck and wrapped it in the VS-17 panel and was walking it to us.
Oh my goodness!
And POD got back with us later on that day and said, "Yeah, this is a live pressure mine. You know, like it was a Russian mine."
How did it not go off? How did he dig it up?
He dug it up out of the ground, and it was exposed from the top, you know. And he dug it up and wrapped it up, and he told our turf, like, oh, I thought this was some kind of protective cloth you were giving us, because, you know, they don't know. So we give it to COD, and they put it in this little valley right over there, you know, right where we were. And they were going to do a controlled debt. And then we saw a bunch of cows walking through, and I was like, I talked to my buddy, he was driving, and I was like, hey, there's a bunch of cows over there. All of a sudden, boom, I mean, they did the controlled debt, huge explosion. I was like, is that a cow's rolling down the hill?
And
it didn't explode. That cow actually got up and walked off. I was like, they make them talk in Afghanistan. Yeah.
The cow didn't die from the mine explosion? That is crazy.
No, it didn't die. It just got up and moved out.
Took
a knee and drank some water and moved out.
That's a great story right there. Yeah. That is funny. Your dad, he's like got this list of stories. He's like, Nick has just got all these stories. So we're going to get you on again and give us some more stories. But we've only got a couple minutes, Nick. Tell us a little bit about how the militia is doing these days.
Yeah, we're doing good. I think we got 4 units, four or 5 units we're supporting right now. And now I just been informed that we got requests from individuals, saying, hey, we need such and such. So we're starting to do individual requests of whatever anybody needs. So if anybody needs to shoot them up. If anybody needs to find out where we are, just, you know, go on AR-15, search Ramstead's Militia or RETMAC. You'll find our thread you know, it's cheap to fill up a box and send it to the guys downrange and whatever they need.
It is. It doesn't cost much money at all. If you want to put together something yourself, you can do it. If you want to just donate a little money, they've got a PayPal account you can send some money to, and they make sure all the money goes into those boxes and sent to soldiers on the front lines.
Yeah, they love Copenhagen School, you know, the tobacco stuff. We've sent thousands of dollars worth of stuff down guys downrange, and it's nothing. Coming from me, it's nothing but a morale booster, because I used to get stuff from the militia And I used to dish it out to my guys, and it puts a smile on their face and helps us with the mission, you know. It keeps their mind off the bad stuff, you know, and depression, and puts a smile on their face, helps them complete the mission.
It's a really cool homegrown little ARFCON thing, and
it's a little tiny little thing you got going.
Yeah, it's getting so big now. It's really neat. So everybody, please do a search, for Randstad Militia or RetMac, any thread authored by RetMac, and you'll find it on there. Hopefully, with you being on the show tonight, the thread will get bumped back up to the top in general discussion. And just go check it out, see what they're all about, see if it's something that you're willing to.
And big ups, JR15.com. You guys made it happen. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank the Avilas for everything. Thank them for the show, for the website, for the militia. It's just a great family to be able to be associated with. It's a real honor. And it's an honor to have you on. I really appreciate you coming on, Nick, at such short notice.
Yeah.
And we're going to get you on again really soon. I got to hear some of these stories that your dad talks about. And he's proud of you, and he has every right to be. I want to thank you again for your service, man. I really do. You're a real American.
Hey,
I know you don't feel that way, but you are.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Hey, hit me up if you want to be in that competition.
I will. I'm gonna work it out, and we'll figure out where we can both make it to one, and we'll go do it for sure. I'm excited now. I'm gonna go get my rest of my stuff together so I can do. His name is Nick Randstad. He is ARFCOM's favorite sniper, and now I can officially say I know a sniper. Everybody else says they know a sniper, but I know a really good sniper. His name is Nick Randstad. This was our show of American Heroes. We had nothing but American Heroes on today, from Joe DeBurgolis. David Bellavia was on, a real American hero. Trey Tuggle, another American hero. Nick Randstad, another American hero. Just a great show today. I hope everyone enjoyed it. If you missed part of it, come check out the podcast at radiofreearfcom.wordpress.com. I want to thank Merrill, as usual, for keeping all the threads up to date with the pictures and the links for all the guests and some of the things we talked about. I thank all my listeners for supporting the show. You guys are a great bunch of guys. We've got a hardcore group of serious listeners that tune in every week. Thank you to all my guests, to Seth, the super producer, for making it happen and letting us run long tonight. I appreciate it, Seth. I'll see everybody next week right here on Radio Free ARFCOM. God bless America.